All right, what's up? Spotlight on. We are going to interview Annabelle Acosta. She's on a new film. It's called Fat Camp. I want to talk to her, and I'm sure you want to hear more about her story. That's coming up right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Let it begin, Annabelle. Come on, let's see that wiggle. She chose a song. I don't know how to like wiggle.
I love this song.
How you do it? What do you do?
Look. I think it's from the waist.
Oh my God. What? That's Annabelle Acosta, everybody.
This makes me feel like I'm on an island.
We are really in a summer vibe.
Really hot guy.
Right now. Oh, well, yeah, there we go. Okay. I'm sweating already. What's up, everyone? Spotlight on. You are listening to Despacito, of course, chosen by this actress here that is joining us. It's Annabelle Acosta on the film Fat Camp, which is coming to BET.
Yes.
Started at the LA Film Festival. And let's talk with you in our Spotlight On series. How are you this hot, sweaty summer day?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Oh, my God. Well, you are interesting because I do know a little bit about your backstory, mm-hmm. so we want to continue to bring that to life. And there's a lot of different things with you, but Fat Camp mm-hmm. is the one that we're kind of promoting, talking about,
yes.
and pushing today. Not a movie that went straight to BET. Where was the journey to get towards the network?
We started off at the Los Angeles Film Festival. For a while, I think we were trying to figure out what would be the best home for our film, the best audience,
right.
and the LA Film Festival was perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it just did so well that BET came running. Because Chris
yes.
Redd, now he's acting, comedian, is he also like a writer in the project as well?
He's not.
Okay.
But he is a writer.
Okay.
Yes.
Super funny guy.
So talented.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what is your character, Abby, like, does she tempt him or does she check him? I feel like from the trailer, I don't really understand
a little
all the way.
Bit of both. Well, they have history. You know, when they were kids, they knew each other, and they were both fat, and she always had a crush on him when they were younger, and he turned her down, and he would always make fun of her, and then when he sees her later on, when he goes to the fat camp, he has no idea that it's her.
Oh, she's grown up, I guess.
Yes, and now she's, you know, hot.
She's you. Okay, and I do want to talk about that because you and I, I worked on an interview with
yes.
you before for American Latino TV, so I do know a lot about your story, as I said, but there's so much with you because you don't necessarily, you were explaining to me, like, what it's like to be the pretty girl, so to speak, and casting
yes.
and typecasting, I guess. Is that sort of what you were alluding to?
A little bit, yes, because I gravitate towards the meaty roles.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the action stuff. I got to do, you know, action stuff in Quantico, stunts and shoot guns. And I played a single mom that her child had been taken away from her. So that came with a lot of emotion and depth and, you know, range. And, you know, she was tough, but still, you know, there were moments where, you know, you see her vulnerability and breakdown. So, yeah, a lot of times when you look a certain way in this industry, I think they automatically, you know, typecast you to be a certain thing. So for certain roles, it's like, oh, she's too pretty. But it's like, no,
yeah,
but I
because
can act.
I know. And that's because that's a true passion of yours. And I always
yes.
feel like it's like they want you to play the girlfriend almost
yeah.
almost all the time, you know, and that does
yeah.
work. And I, you know, an actress that I liked, and maybe you like her as well. I always liked how like Rosario Dawson did play the girlfriend, you know, and he
yes.
got game, but always was able to kind of maneuver
yes.
other, you know, she was in what, the Stoner movie, and
yes.
yet she was in the action, you know.
Yes.
So not everyone's able to do that, but that's definitely
yes.
maybe an agenda for you, kind of, if you could like wave the wand.
I've actually been able to transition into that. You know, I used to have really, really long hair,
yeah.
and I chopped it off for Quantico. And now it just, you know, it looks different, and it gives me a bit more of just like a different edge.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Edgy. Let's talk with her real quick. Anthony in the booth, if we have a minute, let's take a look at the trailer so we could at least really get into Fat Camp
okay.
and get excited about the BET premiere. Let's see. We have the trailer.
The deal was that you would have a job or be out of my house.
You don't want your baby boy out here in the streets just working no regular job.
Bingo. You've got a job.
Oh, hell no.
Welcome to Camp Vision, California's premier fitness camp.
Fat camp.
You guys think y'all have like, you know, a little bit of baby fat? You got grown man fat on your little baby bodies.
I'm gonna lose weight.
I'm a freaking stud.
Why are you dressed like that? Got a hot date?
Who is that?
That's Abby Kripa. She's cute if you're into that type of thing.
Everybody's into that type of thing.
Is this a good time to ask you out, or is this a My camp, my rules.
My hell.
Your body issues put my campers to shame.
I smell booze. Yeah!
Stop using all your body. It's a two-step with your feet. Yeah. Let's go. To the mountain top. We're gonna celebrate.
I can't do two people's jobs, Hutch. I'm one person.
What about on the airplane?
Okay, a delightful look at, you know, body issues. It's yes. Humorous. Can I tell you, like, even for me, I feel like, I'll be honest with you, there's not many days that will go by where I don't kind of assess, like, where I am as far as gaining weight, losing weight. You know, there was a point in my life I was at, like, 310, 315. So It's always, like, on my mind. So when I watch the trailer,
you
like...
look amazing.
And I'm getting better, so don't you worry. It's going to be a good summer. But that's the thing, like, what I loved about it is, because as a, you know, almost being a critic, I'm like, oh no, fat camp, are they going to make jokes that are going to be insensitive? I was able to, like, rock out with what they said, mm-hmm. and also be like, oh man, I relate, because I know what it's like to walk into a room being overweight, and your jokes maybe have to be funnier. Yes. I guess it's a typecasting in itself, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you ever... struggle with weight issues yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm Latina, so I love to eat.
Okay,
I grew up, rice, beans, plantains, all of that, you know, good stuff. And when I first started acting, I wasn't the smallest girl, and I didn't have the best eating habits. I didn't have the best discipline as far as, you know, working out goes. So, I actually lost some roles.
Right.
Because I looked too big on camera.
There's so many variables. The hair has to be a certain way, and I guess your look. Yeah. Did you ever get, sorry to jump ahead, did you ever get any pushback from people who, let's say the people you grew up with, or people who just said, hey, you're fine, you are a naturalistic Latina?
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, I was curvy. I still am. I've just really slimmed down.
Right.
For work and, you know, especially for projects, I cleanse, I go on diets just to look, you know, just, I mean, the camera adds weight.
Yeah.
It does. And, you know, if you're, when I do the action stuff, when I do the stunts, you have to be in really, really good shape, because you're spending 12, 16 hours doing fighting scenes and, you know, running on a rooftop 90 degrees in New York. And it's like your stamina, your body needs to be ready for that.
And it's not superficial at all to say, like, I feel like your confidence just has to go up immensely.
It does.
And you know, like, I think about even, like, doing a show like this. I'm like, I see the cameras on me, but if I would have lost 20 more pounds, you feel more, you know.
Yeah, and it's not so much the way you look, it's how you feel.
Right.
You know, so when you feel healthy, myself, when I feel healthy, when I feel like my body's tight and I'm strong, that gives me, you know, a certain confidence when I'm on set or when I walk into auditions that I didn't so much have before. I mean, I was never fat like the way Abby was, but
so the character in this
for
movie,
Hollywood, I was
right. Well,
you know, I was curvy.
Yeah,
I was.
And I noticed
girl.
That the time I did have an agent when I was dancing around here in this, you know, LA thing, trying to be a host and doing commercials and stuff like that. The time that I was big, I would get so much love and attention and go to tons of auditions. The moment I became regular, like what you see now, it's like I wasn't any type anymore. And it was really hard on me emotionally. Like, I mean, I don't want to dwell on it, but these are the things that I think you go through.
Absolutely.
We all go through. But you do go to casting still as the pretty girl, and that doesn't bother you, though? You're okay with just...
No, I think there's still great roles for... Yeah. Pretty girls, you know, there's no, I think when a role has substance, it doesn't matter if, you know, what the look is. And I don't, to me, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
You know, what's pretty to you may not be pretty to me.
Very true.
Everybody has a different idea of what beauty and pretty is. To me, it's more about the material and the substance, you know, and being able to... bring that to life and stay true to it, which is why I did cut my hair, because I feel like, you know, if I'm playing a cop or, you know, an FBI agent or a homeless person, like, you know, it's not realistic to have this long, sultry hair.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not practical.
Well, I like the way you said beauty kind of mix it with substance. So my question to you, Annabelle, is who out there, you know, maybe leading ladies already, even just entrepreneurs, who, which women are you seeing as like beautiful, strong, confident women? Doesn't have to be Latina, so to speak. But, you know, because beauty is in the high eye of the beholder of, like, you know, your career is focused. Obviously, you're more attractive in that way.
I've always been a huge fan of Charlize Theron.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think she's been able to, I mean, she's gorgeous. She's stunning. And, I mean, when she did the movie Monster, it's Monster, right?
Yeah, the full makeover.
Yeah, I mean, she, you know, and she's been able to transcend the idea of like, oh, her beauty, you know, she's still gorgeous, but she still takes on these really cool edgy roles that don't always require her to look that way.
Yeah, it's like, I studied this thing, I really want to be like an actor. Because you're not too big of a fan on social media, or are you? From what I know, you don't love it.
No, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with it, to be honest. I love the fact that I get to interact with fans. It's so amazing because I can be having the shittiest day and I'll get such a nice compliment from a fan or a comment on one of my pictures, like, hey, you know, or a direct message, like, I loved you so much in this, you inspire me, and I'm like, wow. You know, like, that's...
Well, that's good. I can never take them serious because they always have names like, you know, little, like, you know, Window 22.
Right.
And I'm like, is your name Bob?
It's still nice. Like, it's still nice, but I'm pretty private.
Well, I think it's refreshing that you do have... Because me and you had that agreement. Like,
yes.
It sucks because, like, I want to do media broadcasts. I love all that. Producer, of course, the work that we had done. Like... I like all the work, but I don't like this idea that you're forced to, like, you know, sell yourself every single second. That's just not for me and the career I kind of want to go into, you know?
We had spoken about this. I just, you know, when I fell in love with acting and when I first started acting, social media wasn't this big, and I loved...
Are we about the same age?
I just turned 30.
Oh my God, I'm like way older than you then. I'll be 37 this year. Can you believe it? 37. I feel like I was just 30. When I was 30 is when I moved to New York. Your hood. I mean, you grew up there, right?
I love New York.
Where in Queens? Is that where you kind of grew up?
Yes, Jackson Heights.
Okay.
And then I lived in Sunnyside for a while.
Very nice.
Yeah.
When did you make the LA jump, I guess? And why hesitant, or was it the next step in your career?
I was hesitant for a bit. I was a diehard New Yorker.
Yeah.
Yes, I still love New York. I love the vibe. I love the energy. I love the people. It was a very big transition. You know, the lifestyle in LA is very different to the lifestyle in New York. So in the beginning, I was very hesitant. I moved right after my first independent film.
Okay.
Yes, my management at the time was like, you need to move to LA for pilot season.
Yeah, you have to go with momentum, I think.
Yes.
And do you get to film anything, though? Is Quantico filmed in New York by chance, or?
Quantico was originally filming in Canada when I was on it, yeah.
Okay.
We were shooting in Montreal and Quebec.
Because that would be amazing if you could go for a summer and shoot something in your old neighborhood or whatever.
Yes.
What would be a dream New York role? I mean, you say you like meaty roles, but you also say, like, a pretty girl could have a good role. What would be something you'd really want
to
play?
I would love to move back to New York. For a series, I would. I always
like a real move.
I always yes.
Oh.
Like, still maybe keep a place here, but like go and shoot a series in New York.
Yeah, and tell the people, like, why is it so much more? I don't want to say more incredible. I'm conflicted because I'm from Los Angeles, but my time in New York was so amazing and shitty too because it's also terrible. But it's just, there's only one place like that. So can you put into words what makes that New York heartbeat?
There's an energy in New York that I just can't explain it. I love Broadway. I love the fashion. I love shopping in New York. I don't know. I
like
getting
to
walk.
So many different things are happening on one day. So like the Yankees could have a home opener one day.
Yes.
And that's like the biggest thing to this particular group of people.
Yes.
But then there'll be something at Lincoln Center that's so amazing to this group of people.
Yes.
But then it'll be something in Bed-Stuy, like a music festival, that's so important to that group. And that's what I just...
Yeah.
I guess we have it in L.A.
I mean, you can literally be in Grand Central and there be, like, the most amazing, like, violinist. And you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And Grand Central. And then you're on the subway and you see the most amazing epic group of, like, breakdancers.
I think if I was choosing a role, I don't necessarily act or whatnot, mm-hmm. more on the radio media side, but I would want to do a role. I know you didn't ask me, but I'm now, you know, taking charge, Annabelle.
What kind of, what's your dream role?
Thank you, thank you. Well, first I have to learn to dance to Despacito, but no, secondly, I would want to do a role in, like, L.A.-based story, because mm-hmm. I feel like all the shows that I really, really love, I love Mozart mm-hmm. in the Jungle.
I love Mozart in the Jungle.
Wasn't it the great?
So excited when that show won awards.
It's getting a fourth season, too.
Amazing. I was such a huge fan of it, and I always thought to myself, this is such an underrated show.
I mean, and then to have Bernadette Peters on it, and, I mean, Gael Bernal Garcia, so amazing. I remember watching it saying, I don't know nothing about the orchestra, so to speak, mm-hmm. but still being so connected because it was the same story, I would assume, as you coming up in New York mm-hmm. acting or me coming up in radio in L.A. It was all that same dream, you know, focus or whatever. Oh, yeah. Season 4 is going to be amazing. The lead's pretty good, too.
Amazing.
I believe that's the sister of one of the girls in Girls. Do you watch Girls as well?
I did watch Girls.
Okay. Yeah, tell me about your TV shows, because here at AfterBuzz, we do after show recaps.
Okay.
What shows are you...
I have been watching American Gods.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yes. I heard that one was really amazing. I haven't seen it, but... Yes. That's Stars or Showtime?
Stars.
Okay.
I've been watching American Gods. I love Billions. I'm a huge fan of Billions.
Yeah.
It takes way too long to come back. I feel like between seasons, I'm like, what other shows do I watch? I just finished watching Gypsy on Netflix with Naomi Watts.
Okay.
And I thought that was pretty interesting. I like that.
Yeah. I love how you're just kind of choosing where you're going to go directionally. But we do want to talk about Quantico a smidge, mm-hmm. just because I want you to tell me more. We have some photos here. What's like the FBI lingo that you had to kind of grab from or skill set? I mean, you can't just
set. No, you can't.
I can't be casted tomorrow without training.
That was challenging. It was because, you know, it's not a vocabulary or a lingo that I use every day. So I really had to repeat my lines, you know, just to the point where it really, when I said them, I believed it and it felt natural to me. Because if I don't believe myself, I mean, obviously the audience is going to be like, oh, here's this girl trying to sound like an FBI agent.
Yeah, yeah.
It was challenging, and it's, you know, it's a show that has a lot of dialogue and, you know, action at the same time, and, you know, it's a lot of moving around and talking, so you really have to know your stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, even the physicality, as you said, and plus, I feel like you could be, like, very, like, feel very kick-ass-ish, you know, you get kind of motivated, like, that's a badass character. Natalie, right? Is the name
Natalie
of the character?
Natalie Vasquez.
Yeah. What was the big difference between playing this fantastic role and playing the Ballers? Mm-hmm. I thought I saw, like, online, it was like, oh, her character is, like, a wag or something like that? tell me, what's...
A wag is...
I mean, I know what it is.
It's a wife, athlete...
I thought it was wife and girlfriend.
Wife and girlfriend, of athletes.
Yes. And as much as I watch reality TV, I will not touch that show. I just...
I don't watch
I watch
reality.
Too many other bad ones that I'm like,
TV.
I gotta stick to, like...
I can't.
It's bad. Yeah. But on really tough days, it's fun to laugh, too, with them, I guess. I'm trying to rationalize it.
I loved playing Bella. I tried to make her... I didn't want to make her the typical, like, the idea that people have of what a wag, you know, of an athlete is. I love the fact that they, you know, Steven Levinson and the writers wrote her and created her to be very smart, very independent, you know,
was she cool. Was she sneaky at all, or?
No, she was, you know, she's very loyal to him. She loves him. She puts up with a lot of his crap, you know. And he, you know, he's very mature and, you know, wild, and she's kind of like the girl that, you know, really held him down and always gave him good advice and had her own, you know. She ends up leaving him, and, you know, she has her own life. She doesn't depend on him. She's with him because she really loves him. And you know, there were scenes, episodes that I, you know, I dressed sexy and the tight dress and the stomach out, but then there were also episodes where, you know, I was more like chill and dressed down. I wanted her to be like relatable to the women.
I feel like because you seem to be a really sweet girl, I think I need you to play. I'm just like throwing it in the casting universe. I feel like maybe, like, I haven't watched too many episodes, but I do feel like the show's amazing. Mm-hmm. Power, maybe, even? I don't know. But, like, I need you to be sneaky. I feel like I'm
That's just funny. I was actually up for Power.
Okay.
I was.
So there you go.
For the role of Angela.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
And then, but, you know, Ballers came along.
Yeah.
So,
And that was
but filmed. I love Layla Lauren.
Yeah.
I think she's incredible.
Yeah. But it's still cool to like be in contention with these types of roles.
Yeah, for sure. And I worked with 50. I did a movie film called Freelancers with him.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm a huge fan of the show. I'm very happy for its success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I liked about that show is it had like that slow burn, you know, like it just kind of season one, people knew about it, but gosh, on season four, everyone's like talking about it. I'm only up to like season one-ish or something like that.
So you think I could be sneaky?
Only because on account of we were already done an interview and like I was like,
you think I can get away with it?
Well, I think, okay, here's what it is. I think when people see, like, as we said, like, the pretty girl and me, you know, good-looking man, you know, they think we're, like, assholes. I'm just kidding. I'm not good-looking.
They do.
But, so I felt like when I saw you, you had so much more layers to you that I was like, oh, she's sweet. Cool. So, with that said, let's get her to play a mean, sneaky biatch. Yeah, you know?
I did play a biatch on Quantico.
Yeah, I like the way you said biatch, just the way I said it.
Yeah, and I loved it because they hated my role so much. You know, Priyanka's so loved, especially, you know, in India. Like, I had so many Indian fans writing my Instagram, like, leave her alone, and, you know, because I was, like, her nemesis on the show. But then towards the end, they started writing her, you know, for people to really love her, and that's when she died. And it had such a powerful effect on the audience.
There you go.
It was amazing.
Tell me about, like, even the earlier stages and your studying, you know, like, education and into acting. And it's not just acting. You have other pursuits, correct? Other things you're following? I mean, are you kind of like a triple threat type thing, or? Or do you just love performing?
I love being an actress.
Yeah.
I do. I just like becoming other things and portraying other things. I, you know, reality is very boring to me.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, like when we're in the car drive. Like
yeah, I just.
The traffic.
You know, whenever miserable. I read a script, whenever I read lines, and it's like a cool role and cool characters, it's like that's what, you know, it's like a rush. It's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do love creating. I'm working on a kids show right now that I'm creating, which is really cool. I can't talk about it too much.
Okay.
Yeah, and I started off as a dancer, actually. The first pilot that I ever booked for ABC called Grace, I played a dancer.
Okay.
Yes.
So dance is in your blood on some
level.
It is. Oh, man, I'm still embarrassed by the way we opened the show, and I tried to wiggle as good as her, but, I mean, I tried, though.
Effort, you did. Effort, you did count. Good.
People love it.
They do.
They love it. Sorry, I'm bothered.
You have those light eyes.
Yeah.
Right. You know, light eyes just.
I want to get a tan more so, because I tan really well, but I've been overworking, because then the eyes will be lighter.
Oh.
You see, there's a game to this, yeah. And in fact, if we're going to talk about my eyes, I know this is your interview, and I'm just totally bogarting.
Listen,
it. I'm a horrible human being.
Tell me about your eyes.
I never wear sunglasses because these were always like my go-to. Like, hey, look at my eyes. And so I've never been a sunglass person, which makes it a problem. I'll go in a setting like where it's sunny, and I'll be like squinting. So I've got a lot to work through. Sorry.
I love. On the other hand, I love sunglasses. They're like. I spend most of my money on.
If you're drunk, the next day you could cover it all the way up. So that's
absolutely. You can cover up a lot of things. God.
The worst thing though is when you see a good looking person with sunglasses, and there turns out they're not a good looking person. That's a problem though too.
Yeah,
I've seen that a lot too.
They're deceiving.
Oh my gosh! So like, you're at a fun stage or whatnot, but like, you told me like this past February was like your life changer. Your big old. Can you kind of explain that whole situation?
I had an accident, a really bad car accident in early February, and I was in the hospital for a while. It took me a while to recover. I couldn't work. I missed a couple projects that I had to turn down.
How in pain were you, or what?
Yeah,
what happened?
I mean, I broke a bunch of ribs.
I broke ribs.
I had a collapsed lung. I suffered a concussion. It was like, you know, I was in the backseat of a Suburban on the freeway, and it just, we got cut off and we flipped all over.
Yeah,
all over the freeway.
Were you the most severely hurt in that situation?
Yes. Yes.
And now, do you comfortably say the word like near death experience, or just like life changing?
Yes, I can comfortably say it.
I mean, that's scary, Annabelle.
It's the closest. Yeah. I think if you surpass it, though, you know, you say it without fear.
Yeah. What happened? Did your family come like fly to LA? Was it in LA or?
Yeah, it happened here.
Okay, so everyone just came.
Yeah.
Rushed to.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's creepy.
I had a lot of love.
Yeah.
Thankfully,
everyone was driving safe though. It was just like an actual accident, or?
Yes, we got cut off, and you know, it was rush hour traffic. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you feel like that's been a big change for you as far as... Did you want to, like... what was, like, getting back into work feeling like? Did it take a while to start working again?
Oh, it did, yes. I mean, I was so frustrated. I'm a workaholic, you know. I don't know how to stop.
Why are you a workaholic?
I love what I do. I love what I do. I love to feel productive and, you know, what I... I'm passionate about what I do. It excites me, so it's like... I always want to get up and, right. you know, read scripts and, you know, I almost you to the point where connected. I try to take on too much.
Yeah.
And that accident was a very, you know, it was enlightening.
Yeah.
For me, because it forced me to, you know, sit my behind down and with broken ribs and pass on movies and things yeah. that I was getting offered and just really learn how to put my health you know, first, which I think sometimes we forget because right. we're so busy just in the routine of getting up and working and making money. And then, you know, we don't listen to our body or we don't, you know.
We always have to be doing something. It is weird.
Yeah.
Did you find, like, the beauty of, like, did you start reading or what did you do during that time? If you're so used to always
yes.
going to auditions, meeting people, connecting yes. or whatever.
I worked on my patience.
Yeah.
Yes, because I was injured, and I wanted to work. I actually had an offer on a movie at the time, which she was a wrestler, you know. So it required physical. It was a physical role. So I was so bummed out. Mm-hmm. So it strengthened my faith a lot and my belief that, you know, things happen. You just have to trust how things happen and how they unfold. Right. So I don't try. Before, I would think like I had so much control over things, and that situation made me realize that I'm not in control of anything, you know, that when I am tired and, you know, I get my rest and I eat properly and I take care of myself first before, mm-hmm. you know, going out into the world. And
I think a lot of people would have a hard time with it. I mean, they would have a hard time with the near death experience, but like just yeah. forcing people, especially like people that I know, like mm-hmm. they have to be going 1,000 miles a minute. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. I used to be like that in my mm-hmm. 20s. In my 30s, I've really learned to relax. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. I think life had to teach me to slow down.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, I was coming from New York, you yeah, know, New York yeah. is a city you you wake up and you just go, you don't even think about it, you know, you put your headphones on and you're just like go. And I've always had that drive and that, you know, that mentality and that focus. So this really forced me to, you know, just have more faith and be patient. And it was a blessing, because it just, when you appreciate life to a certain extent, I just appreciate moments with my friends, you know, and my family, whether it's a conversation on the phone, something as simple as like, you know what, let me call my dad instead of texting him.
You know? This social
because
media.
Because you just never.
Right.
And I saw the accident happen. You know, some people don't remember.
You were in the back seat.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I remember I was texting, but I was looking, you know, towards the front when the car cut us off and we flipped. So I saw that happen when it happened.
Right.
Yeah, and it just I see life differently, but in a good way.
It's a couple things interesting about that. I do like the idea that now when things like this happen, it's mm-hmm. like, oh my God, I need to call with people. I need to
yes.
visit the people. If I wasn't going to go to this get together because, you know, my life is so important, maybe right. in this case, I'll go to this get together.
Yes.
And even like an intriguing thing, again, I'm making this whole show about me. Do you know what I did today? Annabelle, I really did this. I did this today. I, for whatever reason, out of all days, I emailed one of my old mentors, one of my old radio mentors.
Wow.
Of all days, all day. Like what? Like I haven't talked to her in like a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And today felt like the day. Like I think I heard a wow. song that reminded me of her, you know, whatnot. Hey, you know, just thinking of you. Da 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 da. I was gonna let her know I'm back in Los Angeles. Like, hey, we'll do lunch. She literally emails me, you know, later on in the day, and says, "Oh, so great to hear from you. Unfortunately, my father passed away today, so I just, you know, I need I'm not trying to give anyone's business away. I'm just mm-hmm. saying I was really touched by like how sometimes the universe pushes us to slow down or connect with people.
Yes.
Because I'm not a fan of social media saying hello. That's not how you say hello to Ronnie. You know, you
yes.
need to like reach out, ask how people are doing.
Yeah.
So good. You've made it through that storm.
I did.
Yeah. So what's next? How are you going to kick ass the rest of this 2017?
I have a couple things coming up. There's a film called Lost and Found in Cuba that I'm really, really passionate about. It's a story about Cuban girl. She's super materialistic. It's a comedy, but a lot of heart in it. Super materialistic, and she ends up losing her job and just going through a tough time. And, you know, her mom, she's second generation Cuban, so her family's, like, very, very Cuban. And, you know, her mom's like, hey, let's go to Cuba and visit your grandmother. She's never, like, gone to Cuba. So she ends up taking the trip over there, and she ends up, like, losing her purse and all this stuff. She gets stuck in Cuba. And you just see this amazing change in her character from this materialistic, like, bitchy, all about herself Hollywood girl, right, to the girl that, like, gets in touch with her roots and her family towards the end. So that's a film I'm supposed to start shooting in the fall.
Were you involved in, like, the writing process? Like, what?
I was not.
It spoke to you because you were born in Cuba.
I was.
Yeah, I mean, yes. That's got to be a cool aspect.
So cool.
You probably see a lot of superficial women, you know, you kind of match those two and make it a character.
Yes. Yeah. The script came to me when I was shooting Quantico. And I absolutely fell in love with the script. I couldn't go into any of the auditions, and, you know, they kept casting, like, you know, having casting sessions, and they kept not finding the girl. And Regina, who's the writer, director, producer of the film, she loved me in Ballers, and she's like, I just feel like you're Mia. I just, you know, can we at least get on the phone? Because I was shooting Quantico, and I'm like, I haven't even been able to read your script, and I want to give you the respect of, you know, getting on the phone and really talking about this project.
Yeah.
She's like, but I just, you know, so I'm like, okay, you know, we talked
awesome,
on the phone.
Yeah.
And she was, just by a conversation on the phone, she's like, you're Mia.
Okay.
And I'm like, I think so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I read the script, and I'm like, yeah, it was like one of those things.
Yeah. That'll be fun to watch. That'll be a good story. There's so many stories that aren't being told, so that's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
What out of the films that came out this last year was like a story that really meant a lot to you? And or different? Like, I think of like Moonlight being so intriguing, you know, and like that layered story never really being told. That was so awesome to see.
I thought,
you know?
Moonlight was incredible. I'm trying to think what films. I can't recall right now. I just saw Nicole Kidman's film, The Beguiled.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I loved it. I'm a huge fan of hers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watch a lot of cartoon stuff. I have a little brother.
Cartoon?
So.
What do you mean cartoon?
Like, I watch a lot of DreamWorks. You know what it is?
Like, not the adult cartoons, but the cartoon cartoons.
Yeah, like the DreamWorks and, you know, the Marvel comics.
People do love it.
Yeah, I have a little brother who's.
How many years
super
younger?
Super nerd. He's 15, but he like loves like animation and, you know, all the comics and all of that stuff. So we kind of bond over that. So I watch all of those movies and I talk to him about it because, you know, the deep stuff that people like, the popular movies that people are usually like, oh my God, did you see that? Did you see that? I watched Get Out.
Yeah.
Which I thought was
I want to watch
incredible.
Lion. That's the next one on my list.
Which one?
Lion? Yeah.
Okay.
That's the next one that I really want to watch.
I think because I'm an actress and I, you know, do this for a living, sometimes I don't want to watch, like, sometimes I have to disconnect, you know?
Yeah, that's
so I
fair.
So I don't watch movies as much.
I love the dynamic, though, of the younger sibling. How many years was that, 15 years apart?
He was born when I was 13.
Oh, because my little sister's 10 years younger, and what a bond that, it's like, doesn't make sense, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like you learn from them. I mean, of course they learn from you. But, like, I remember watching Degrassi as, like, a 22-year-old.
Yeah.
Because my sister was watching this show called Degrassi. Yeah. Like, you're just connected to a different type of lifestyle.
Yeah. I try to find the balance between being the cool sister and, you know, because I want him to be able to talk to me about everything. But then I also want to protect him and guide him. So I try to be cool, but still kind of like, you can't do this, you know?
Yeah.
And when they're at that age, it's like, you know, he's a boy, so he doesn't want to, you know, he's just like girl crazy right now. He like sees tits and he's like, oh my God. And I'm just like, oh.
I know. What do you say to that? You're
a baby.
Does he ever like when he's following your career, does he ever get like, I don't want to say offended, but like when he hears stories, like there was the gossipy Wiz Khalifa rumors, like stuff like that. How does like a little sibling take stuff like that? Which is not true, but like how do you deal with that? Or how does he deal with that?
He'll ask me.
Like, he'll ask you, like, hey, were you really...
Is this... Yeah, because he follows my career, and, you know, he's creative, too. So smart. I always say he's more talented than I am.
Yeah.
He's just... He helps me read lines over the phone.
Oh, nice.
And he
still
just
in New York,
has
or?
It. No, he lives in Miami. My family lives in Miami. Yeah, he just... He has it. So he's, like, so creative. I mean, when he gets older, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Okay.
But he... yeah, he watches my work, and he's critical of it. He'll say if he likes something. He'll say if he thought my acting was great, if he didn't. You know, like my earlier projects, like Freelancers, my dad didn't think my acting was so great in it.
But wasn't that a big pivotal film for you, though? Like to kind of move you forward?
Oh, my God. It was, yeah, it's amazing.
But your father wasn't really, like, impressed. He knew
he
you could do more?
He sees my acting now, and he's like, wow, you've improved so much.
Yeah.
You know, so they pay attention, and, you know, they keep up. And my little brother's super, like, he watches my stuff. He's like, I like this, I don't like this, and I think you should, you know.
Yeah. Did you ever, when you were starting the business, were you the only one in your family that was doing this?
Yes, I'm still the only one in my family.
So, so were they, like, so cool about it? Like, you hear the stories of, like, J-Lo, where her mother wanted her. I work in J-Lo into my sentences every time I do an interview, by the way. I'm that big of a fan. But you always hear, like, oh, they wanted her to be, like, a paralegal, yeah. This, that, and the other. What was your family's wish list for you? Was this okay to be an actress?
I think that, you know, to them it seemed so far-fetched. Like, they just thought I was, like, dreaming, and it wasn't realistic. It took me really, you know, making a living out of it, and them
right.
seeing me like, oh my God, you're, you know, for
you're,
them to
you're
really
in the TV, I see you in
yeah
there.
For them to really believe, like, you know, you can make dreams come true, you can, you know, if you set your mind to something, you could do it. And I mean, you know, my parents, they didn't grow up here the way I did, you know, they grew up
right.
in Cuba, so for them it's, you know, a parent's first instinct is, you know, to protect their child. So the most common sense thing was, okay, she's gonna go to a regular college and then maybe get an office job and then have a family. You know, my mom had me when she was 20 years old, so I went in a completely different direction.
I think a lot of times they don't even know how bad you want it, maybe. So maybe
yeah.
when they're not giving that encouragement, they're probably like thinking it's a hobby of yours. And so it's like you're not your job, but it's your
yeah.
job to sort of let them know, no,
yeah.
I'm really like yeah. my life ain't going nowhere but this direction.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, they're supportive. They're extremely supportive. They just still till this day they think it's very tough what I do, you know, being in the public eye and your private life being put out there, you know, and I'm very protective. Like when I started landing, you know, bigger things, you know, I told my mom and my little brother there on Instagram to put their profiles on private.
Yeah. Yeah, because people are so nasty. Like
they are.
I'm not with that shit.
No, and you know, I'm private, and you know, I keep my love life very private, which is why I'm always getting all these
yeah.
fake rumors, because I've never, you know, I don't really put my love life out
well,
there like that.
Right. Well, you can dictate kind of how people react to you. So by being
yeah.
private, I feel like in the short term, yeah, you're not getting this gigantic buzz, like socially, social media, but
yeah.
like that's not what you're in this business for.
No.
Like you're in it to act, as I said with me, like I'm into broadcast because
yeah.
I like to do that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't that whole when it makes me laugh when people go, oh, such and such's video went viral.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're celebrating now? A viral video? Now, if you tell me the project is amazing,
yeah.
then it's like, oh, cool, I want to see
yeah.
Annabelle wrote this, you know, this great story,
yeah.
you know, about a broadcaster named Ronnie. Let's watch it, you know.
Yeah.
But not virally. It just makes no sense.
No.
All
not
right.
the not private life.
All right.
When it's family and romantic relationships, it's something I choose to protect. And, you know, some people don't take it that way. Some people take it as, you're shady.
Wait, I'm shady which way?
I've gotten that before. Just like, oh, you don't want to be seen with me, you know? Or
oh,
like,
right.
why don't you...
Yeah, because
you know?
Haven't, like, paraded someone, you know? That's tough.
Yeah,
though.
Like,
but that's also tough for you, though. Like, when you are in love with somebody.
It is. Like, when the whole Wiz Khalifa thing was happening, I had a boyfriend.
Okay.
At the time.
So what was his reaction?
You know, so I was like, I mean.
But it's also
know?
The
He's
nature
like,
of the business.
Why are you on
yeah.
a carpet? What, you know, why are you, didn't tell me you were showing up on a carpet, you
yeah.
know, with him. And, you know, I'm not public about my private life. So a person on that end can feel like, well, you're not seen with me. Are you hiding me? Are you cheating on me? Are you lying? And it's like, no.
It's just, those insecurities could develop in a man's head.
You know, it's tough.
So what does that mean for you, though? Like, are you always going to have to kind of keep it completely quiet? Or you just kind of...
I mean, I'm sure there's going to come a point, you know, where you get married and you're seen, and it's like you can't... But I see it as protecting, you know. I think when you're in the public eye, people don't respect your feelings, you know. People they don't respect your private life. Like, you know, they'll go easily on a picture and say, oh, you look ugly, you're fat, or you're like this, or, you know, they're quick to want to tear you down, or, you know, they feed off of negativity and drama, and I don't.
Once you put it out there, that's what, like, like a Chris Brown type situation, it's going to be always, kind of always and forever. But if you make those certain things in your head, like, no, I don't want to put my family out there. It doesn't mean I don't, or who I'm in love with. It doesn't mean I don't like them. It's just, it's not, I'm going to share my career. I'm not going to share my personal stuff. Well, that is amazing. We're so excited to see Fat Camp, and
I'm so excited about Fat Camp. You know, this script came to me at such a time. I was shooting in Canada, and I went through, like, I was a bit depressed when I was over there because it was so cold. I was away from my family, my friends, my guy, and I'm like, oh my God, it's shooting in the cold, 16 hours. And this script was so funny. The kids were so amazing. Yeah. Like, it was just such a different, like, shift. And we really, you know, this was a low budget film, and we really came on set every day and just had a blast and worked hard and, you know, put our hearts into this. So, you know, when you do independent projects, you don't know if the world's going to see it. You don't know if the world's going to see it. You don't know if they do see it, how they're going to receive it. You don't know how they're going to edit you. You don't know. You know, you do something with, you read something, you're like, oh, I love this. But then you don't know what the final product is going to be. And to be happy with the final product and for people to love the movie and the message, I cannot ask for more.
I think you definitely won with the role, because to be like cool Abby, who is relatable to all those chubbier boys, but like, I guess she's warm and checks him or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fun. I also like the part in the trailer where the kid goes, oh no, because he's a little frumpy. I'm still a stud. We gotta celebrate that
too. I learned so much from these kids.
Yeah.
So much. I mean, when they had to do the Magic Mike number, they were so confident. Like, you saw how I was doing Despacito? Nothing. Those kids, they were so confident. And I'm looking at them like, oh my God, you know, when I gain a little weight, I'm like, no, I can't do like a sex scene. I can't, like, cover me up. They were so confident and so fearless and just so, like, non-inhibited. I was, like, so inspired by them. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. It has to almost open up your acting, because you're like, why am I tripping out over the littlest
things? So confident in their skin.
Yeah.
It's amazing, yeah.
Then that's why I think the message is pretty good. Like I said, weight to me, I will want to lie and say that I don't like trip over it every day, but I really do think about it all the time. I talk about it a lot, and I don't think that I'm like fully evolved through it. So I think with that said, like, this is going to be a kick-ass little thing that I put on BET and chuckle and we'll laugh when they, what was the line that they said about you, Abby? They said, oh, she's cute, I guess, if you like that type. And what he said? Hey, she's everyone's type. Oh.
Well, again, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Yeah. And that's what I love about this film, that, you know, one of the characters, like, he's in love with Candace.
Yeah. Oh,
know?
Yeah.
But Chris's character wouldn't necessarily find a girl like Candace attractive, but he does.
It reminds me of the effect that you had when you watched the movie. What was it? Shallow Hell years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how you just kind of, you know, beauty is, you know, within the confidence, this, that, and the other. Well, good for you for taking on the role. Anything else you want to share with us? Anything about you? I just think the part that I liked about you was that you went through this crazy thing in February and you're on the other side of it. And stuff does happen, but look at you go. And look at your shoes. I wish we could get the shoes on the darn camera. You guys, she has shoes that are like, the heel is like probably this high. And you're already tall and slender. How about you? Man, oh man, oh
They're so sexy, though.
Yeah, but we're not on feet camera.
No.
Nonetheless, thanks, Annabelle, for coming through.
Thank you so much.
Give them...
I always have so much fun with you.
Oh, thank you. This is our second interview.
Looking at your blue eyes.
I'm working on it. I'm back in California. You know how that adjustment is a little bit. I've only been here like 2 months. And the 1 month I was here, I went to New York, so... it's an adjustment, but it's going to be good. Happy summer.
It's good. Work on your tan.
Yes, of course. Watch Fat Camp if you can. It's on BET. It started at the LA Film Festival. Yes. Great little project that she worked on in Canada, you said.
No, we shot Fat Camp here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, and it's doing really well, so that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and look to the camera, and if you want to give your social media and...
I'm Annabelle Acosta. My social media is Annabelle Acosta 1.
All right, she's number one. I'm at Randomly RJ, and this has been a
follow
you. Okay. what are you gonna post? What are the pictures you'll? What's the Annabelle kind of post? What are you? Fashion? You do like fashion.
I do like fashion. I love scenery. I love the water and sunsets and all that. But I feel like and food.
Yeah.
I know that annoys people. Probably they're like.
Oh, like scenery, like a. Well, food could get annoying, but I think like going to like a vineyard or something like that, that's the peace that you need.
Yeah.
That's how you slow down.
And moments with my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The beach,
cool stuff.
Friends, wine.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my last post. It was wine.
Did you? Okay. This has been Spotlight on Annabelle Acosta. Thank you very much for watching.
Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.